Welcome to the award-winning Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashinger, covering metaphysics, ETs, shamanism, and channeling. Here you will find spiritual inspiration from today's thought leaders, along with cutting-edge insights from our interstellar brothers and sisters and ancient shamanic wisdom. Now, here's a new episode of Dare to Dream with your host, Debbie Dashinger.
Welcome to Dare to Dream. This is the go-to podcast for awakened beings ready to explore ET contact, channeling, and the ancient future shamanic path. Today's guest is Laura Eisenhower, an intuitive astrologer, tarot reader, and global alchemist. And she is here today to reveal how astrology holds the keys to humanity's next great age. So stay with us. We're going to jump right into the conversation because you're going to discover the cosmic patterns that are shaping our now, shaping our future, how your personal signs connect with the greater universe. I find this conversation to be incredibly fascinating and helpful right now. So let's find out why these revelations matter for all of us and the choices we need to make. And I welcome the amazing Laura to Dare to Dream. Welcome back to the show, honey. It's so great to have you.
It's so great to be here. Thank you so much for having me, Debbie.
Yeah. And so I know you're busy because we're friends also on social media, and I watch you and you're going here, here, here. And I'm asking a lot of my friends this because I see all of y'all's visibilities going massively up, events going up. What do you think is happening with humanity, with the planet, that there is so much relevance and need for your work right now?
Oh yeah. So, I mean, it's so many of us. It's combining and integrating our missions. It's harmonizing together and realizing the importance of, I don't know, holding your own and holding space for others to share their truth. And yeah, I think there's just a major acceleration, but there's also a lot of gatekeeping. There's a lot of censorship that is still lingering, that is actually happening within the community. I find not so much not being invited to events because that doesn't make sense to begin with, that people would have the same people every year. I'm not talking about that. There's certain individuals that will ban if you question their narrative, if you ask questions about what they're talking about. And I think people are seeing through that. I'm not going to name any names, but that's usually a strong indication that somebody feels very threatened and they need to uphold something. And if anybody debates that, there's a discomfort. And to me, that insecurity shows that maybe that's not aligned with truth, because truth has a certain confidence, not ego confidence, but it just has a knowingness, and it welcomes questions. It welcomes debate. It understands the trauma that people are moving through. It understands also that we all get there in our own particular way at our own timing. And it's really built on unconditional love. So when I talk about truth, I don't feel a disconnection from unconditional love. There's truth as in facts. But when it comes to facts, we've been fed so many distortions, so much indoctrination and social engineering, so much rewritten history, that the best we can do is put out what we've come across, what we've researched, put it out on the table and have a mature discussion about it without being so attached. And I feel if there's any importance to my particular mission, is that I hold that strongly. That's so important to me. I'm not into the banning, the censorship. I'm into healing. I'm into forgiveness. I'm into, okay, if there is a bit of a discord, I am holding just the hope that we can work it out. That's how I am in partnerships and relationships. And when you see that somebody's not going to meet you on that level, you can't get entangled in the pain of it or the disappointment for too long. You got to move forward. And I feel there's a lot of us that have risen above or overcome a lot of the things that have crumbled, a lot of the divide and conquer that has infected. And I don't want to say this community, because it's not a clique. It's more those that are a part of this, seeking, discovering, awakening, finding sovereignty. It's not limited to any sort of clique. It's something that we're experiencing on a collective level. But, you know, those that have overcome the divide and conquer or the smear tactics or all these different things where that agenda streams through people that might be unconscious, might be just not fully integrated in their own soul-centeredness, that allow these energies to move through them. that people have risen above that. And if we can rise above it and still hold unconditional love and forgiveness, then I mean, I think that's where it's at. And that's what I'm hoping to see, even in the fall and crumbling of the deep state. There are people that have been compromised, been blackmailed, been trauma-based mind control for multi-generations, that have been targeted as children, that have been very, very harmed. So does it do any good for us to cast at all the enemy or to reject it because it might still be entangled in all of that? So to the varying degrees that people are locked in that programming, what's really important to me is to just be able to see through it and be a compassionate witness and observer, for the hopes that it'll come back around and return to source, because every soul eventually gets there. And let's not be gatekeepers in some sort of spiritual arrogance that we are there and others aren't. I mean, we don't know their story. We don't know how entangled they are. We don't know the blackmail. We don't know if they're still being abducted. So I just don't like that kind of ranking. And I just think that the consistency in holding heart and compassion, and also checking ourselves and correcting ourselves when necessary with humility, is a good, transparent way to be. Being authentic and also holding integrity as best as we can. So I'm not perfect, but I that's most important to me. So I'll always hold myself in check to those standards. And when I speak about that, I really feel people feel a relief. You know, they don't have to believe what I'm saying. There's room to question it, debate it. They don't have to choose sides. They don't have to pick this person or choose me. I might call out some of the things that they talk about or present about, because I've always been calling out Anunnaki and some of the things that I'm concerned about. Never meant as an attack, but you know, I just feel that my voice, along with many, we're all about the unity in the family. We're all about love being more important than the information, and coming together and acknowledging each other and seeing each other on a soul level. The information is secondary. You know, it's like, okay, let's see where this takes us, what kind of conversations come from it, how this might activate something, and maybe something stirring in you when you hear it. But the priority is we're healing, we love each other. And we're coming together because that is the strongest and most important force right now. And it's the same thing with people who choose to do things that the psyops and false flags are telling them to do. That the love is stronger than the judgment of, oh, okay, you voted for that, you chose that. Like, we got to drop all of that. And that is what I feel is what so many are holding, what you're holding, what a lot of our colleagues are holding. And I think that's an unbreakable bond between each other, because that's the priority. So.
That's so beautiful. And because I know you, and I've traveled to places and events and been on stage with you, and I can say, I think that's what most people experience when they first meet you. Not hear you on stage and your brilliance, but when they get to connect with you, I think everybody's kind of surprised. Like, this is an amazing, loving human being. That was certainly my experience. You're so accessible. You walk and lead with that kindness and that connectiveness. So I love hearing you say this, and that even you check yourself, and we can check ourselves too, because it is really important, if you came here as a light worker, to be that, you know, to do the work and find the light, find the love. And I imagine that's also in your chart somewhere, this ability that you have to connect and love and share. Is that right?
Well, I do have a lot of signs in Libra, a lot of the outer planets and personal planets all kind of lined up together. And yeah, so Libras tend to just be all about harmony, balance, justice, and one of the more shadow expressions, people pleasing sometimes.
Oh,
And
that's
you
interesting.
can't always do that. You know, sometimes you just got to draw the boundary. And but yeah, the love is always there. And every sign, you know, has a lower shadow and a higher octave. And all signs are important, because when you look at the 12 houses, 12 signs, it corresponds with the 12 strands of DNA. It corresponds with the 12 stargates and the ley lines. All of it's connected to the multidimensional cosmos. And we all have our particular, you know, star maps. But to me, it shows patterning, and that patterning can help us to get back into that 0-point unified field. It can help us to rise above the patternings that keep us in negative loops. It can help us to move to a higher expression of maybe an aspect that throws us in shadow. There's a lot of, you know, fire signs that might, And it's shadow be somewhat narcissistic or arrogant. There's Libras that can be very destructive or overly party or want to make everybody happy at the cost of yourself or be codependent in relationships and only see yourself based on other people's opinions, which can be very, very detrimental. There's earth signs that might get very, very toxic, very, very materialistic. Not that that's anything negative, but to the point where you're out of integrity and you're doing it just for the sake of exploiting humans for wealth and money, which is a shadow side. Scorpio, right? Shadow side of Scorpio. Succubus, energetic courting. And I'm not saying that's the Lilith archetype. A lot of these archetypes of the divine feminine have been inverted for a reason, which is why the zodiac has become weaponized, because the shadow inverted expressions, people stay locked in because it's rewarded, or we're given the archetypal inverted storylines that attach people unconsciously to their vibration, like the seductor or the victim-victimizer programming Lisa Renee talks about. So the dark Scorpio can be very much about misuse of sexual energy, just the inability to activate that kundalini, but plug in and be an energy vampire to others because you're in the shadow. You haven't completed the alchemy or transformation within the self. So the more we can see those shadow qualities within ourselves, the more we can recognize, well, we're not stuck in that loop. Because some of those loops, people are like, oh, that feels good. Other loops feel horrible, feel like you're in pain constantly. You feel very disconnected. Nervous system tension, anxiety, depression, anger, you don't know where it's coming from. So when we consciously move those to the higher expressions by giving it unconditional love and giving it a voice, we literally de-weaponize the zodiac and we begin to restore the 12-strand DNA. And we don't compartmentalize our egos away from this process or each other. And we realize we all carry different imprints to help switch on what's dormant. Like what I have, I don't have a whole lot of other stuff that somebody else might have that if I am in their presence, it starts to activate something that might not come as naturally. But I'm glad they're doing it in a dominant theme sort of way in their life, but I can relate to it. I can harmonize with it and I appreciate it. It's just that's not necessarily my role, but it still switches on something dormant. And this is why unity consciousness is so targeted, because if we start to really harmonize like instruments and play in a way where we're in tune with each other, it's literally going to light up all this dormant, sleeping DNA.
Wow, amazing, Laura. So, what planetary, major planetary alignments right now are setting the stage for humanity's next chapter? What's going on there?
Yeah, it's a really great question. So Saturn in Aries, Neptune in Aries, they're conjunct each other. So they moved out of Pisces recently. Saturn is the law of structure. When we think of dark Saturn's very much tyranny, control, Saturn moon matrix, just everything about inverted Saturn, Satanism, false authority, right? So when we look at the underbelly of all that, which a lot of us have, there's a lot of very dark practices going on in order to maintain that control. The black cube of Saturn, just the harvesting and siphoning of energy, is basically, dark Saturn, which is limitation. It's like the seals and fences in our DNA that keep us from accessing our higher DNA because we're locked into the outer rules and outer authority. Now, some rules, of course, are important. So the higher octave of Saturn is self-mastery. Where do we apply disciplines in our life that help us to thrive? Maybe it's yoga, maybe it's a better diet. Maybe it's getting exercise every day. That's responsibility, right? Responsibility to your children, responsibility, to your partner, until it doesn't make sense anymore. When Saturn becomes repressive and it becomes controlling and it becomes limiting, that's when we want to break the chains and honor the law of structure within ourselves to say, I can have mastery over this. You don't lose Saturn, but you're not bound to it to the point where you stunt your own growth, which is what the system likes to do. It wants to be in a dependency bond with this inverted system. But when we graduate beyond that, we're in self-mastery. We can see, okay, that makes sense, but that doesn't. I will not consent to that, but yeah, I'll go along with this. But it's not from the system, it's something more organic, connected to cosmic and natural law or what your body is calling forth. Saturn rules the teeth and the bones, and the joints, even hair, like hair growing, right? You can't look at it in the mirror and watch it grow. It's like nothing's happening, but you go back 2 weeks later, it's like, oh, my hair grew a little bit, or a couple months later, depending. So it's a slow and steady. It rules time, and also it builds a root system. So it might test people's patience, but it can also work to our benefit. You add Neptune to the mix, all of a sudden it's the structure that holds the multidimensional, the spiritual, the mystical. Neptune in its lower octave is self-undoing, addiction, and also archons, entities, and lower astral energies in the lower dimensions. And where Saturn might influence Neptune is to keep us in dogmas, false religions, belief systems that limit us. So now this conjunction is in Aries. The solar plexus of humans is basically like, that particular control matrix, control agenda, or dogma, or indoctrination, social engineering teaching, is becoming much more clear instead of something you just go along with, right? So that kind of terminology might start to pop up in people's mind that might not have been there before. They believe in it, they go along with it, they defend it, they pass it down to their children, and there's nothing wrong with it. But where does it start to really impact you? So that's where pain comes in. That's where disease comes in. That's where disease is our friend, because it's literally trying to tell you, your body is trying to send you a message. You got to listen to it. Don't just take a pharmaceutical. Don't just drug it. Listen to it. So when people are really feeling their solar plexus just want to burst open and move on from the labels of political parties of I'm Catholic, I'm this, I'm and not all labels are necessarily negative, and labels aren't a terrible thing, but it seems like a big breakthrough of expansion. So the divine human is coming through in this particular time. There's, of course, the shadow expression, more belief systems, more false flags, psyops, whatever, to capture that creative imagination, infect it so it harvests and siphons to battery up artificial timelines. It's still alive, but it's becoming more and more obvious. So when people really embody this, they can see through it. They can say, I don't want that reality. I want to write a better script. So you've got that happening. Pluto and Aquarius, all the outer planets, Pluto, Neptune, and Uranus, are all in harmony with each other. That's very rare. So it shows in the astrology that we are in this ascension window, the 13th sign of Phaeacus, December 30th to November 17th of every year. The law of alchemy literally takes us through the purification, the ether element, the divine mother, unconditional love of the mother coming in to purify. And to help to collapse and dismantle these negative loops that keep us bound to this inverted matrix. So the Pluto in Aquarius is helping, but that it's got its shadow side too. Uranus moving into Gemini, a big blast of information breakthroughs, right? Where people are holding such a strong frequency of truth that it's being expressed through Gemini, ruled by Mercury, the magician, that literally, we see on social media people just having major like wake-ups or wow, okay, they're able to call things out. They're able to see through the lies and distortions. It's helping expression be more authentic to the higher self, because Uranus connects us with our higher self and it connects with authenticity, but it's also the planet of shock and upheaval that leads to great awakening. So when it's blocked, it creates PTSD loops, it creates anxiety, it creates nervous system disruption that feels incredibly uncomfortable until you give yourself permission to listen to something that might crush a certain programming that you've adopted. And that's why people have drastic shifts when they wake up. They lose friends, they don't speak as much to maybe family members, but it doesn't mean they're lost for good. It just means that you can't fit into that anymore. Uranus is like the wrecking ball. So, and it's not about saying goodbye for good, but there is a bifurcation, a frequency shift happening. And so people that are like going to suppress that and take the pharmaceutical to deal with their anxiety and panic attacks, and those that are like, no, I want to hear that panic. Where is that coming from? Where is this trauma coming from? They're doing the inner work. They're able to allow their nervous system, which the nervous system of the planet, which are the planetary grids, to begin to release the trauma loop or the pain, and Chiron's involved as well. So it really just depends on how do you handle discomfort and adversity. Can you get to know it? Can you speak to disease, discomfort, adversity, and see it as an opportunity to awaken? Or do you fear it and look outside of yourself for a solution that might suppress the very growth period that's in front of you? So that's the kind of times we're in.
And are there zodiac signs? You mentioned quite a few in the beginning, but in this context, zodiac signs that are being most impacted in this current astrological cycle, and what lessons are these zodiac signs here to embody? I get it. Like there's 12 signs. I could tell you what almost each of my houses is in. But let's just say for the heck of it, you know, if we go through, if Aries is really up or Cancer is really up, et cetera, right now in this cycle, and what does it mean? What are they here to learn or overcome or maybe even put out into the world?
Yeah. Oh, I just can only imagine your chart and how incredible it is. And oh man. Okay. So yeah, what is there to learn? So I mean the Cancer energy, right? Why is the sign Cancer also associated with cancer? People get cancer. And when you look at what's happened to the mother energy, you know, dark mother reversals, the whole planetary grid network with the reversal grid technology has put things in reversal. The mother womb, you know, the Akma, I mean it's the Baphomet. All the dark rituals, the mothers of darkness, which are connected to the 13 families, all that hijacking of the 13th flame has put that cancer energy into this inverted state that has actually hurt the body. The inner divine feminine has been in exile. The divine masculine has lost its ability to understand its role. You know, it's been patriarchy. And it's not gender specific. Some women very much carry that patriarchal program, and men who have sensitivity sometimes are very berated or controlled by patriarchal type women. So it's not gender specific, it's just the imbalance. So that Cancerian energy being a water sign connected to nurturing, when we work the lineage energy of the matriarchal side, when we understand the connection with the mitochondria DNA and how the mitochondria DNA connects with the ether, connects with the fifth element. And how that has moved out of reversal because of the Venus transits and Ophiuchus is coming in, which is it's the Sophionic corrections of taking that inversion and correcting it. Now that energy is flowing. Now it's healing. Now that Cancerian energy is much more able to nurture, to be vulnerable with guardianship. You know, whether that's a good partner in your life or you holding your divine masculine as a guardian to your womb space, you're able to create much more consciously based in what you want to give birth to beyond biological children. So that Cancer energy, fourth house, you know, has its very challenged aspect. And I see a lot of people when I do readings, you know, it goes back generation to generation, and their mom might have been the biggest abuser to them, but she's in pain. She's been traumatized. She has no way to track the origins of that. And that, you know, person comes in and is clearing all that forgiveness. And then, you know, there's breakthroughs for some and some later on down the road. Chiron has been a big one. Chiron has been squaring Mars and Pluto. And right now I believe it's squaring Venus. And the Chiron squares are very difficult because the way we see it in society, yeah, right now Pluto and Venus, that's a hard one. And it's on and off with Mars. So Chiron is wounds and pain and discomfort. So them knowing, you know, because they understand the occult, they want to keep us from it, call it a pseudoscience, say it's demonic through religion, when it actually shows archetypes of that, it reveals everything. The Chiron squares, they know that we're moving through that as a humanity, that we need to feel it to heal it, that we need to really face the wounds. Chiron rules Ophiuchus. It's all about bringing it into the unconditional love of the mother, beyond the Cancer energy, but you know, into the Ophiuchus, into cosmic mother, right? The Cancerian is more, you know, maybe Earth mother, just having this experience because it's beneath the chart, you know. And anyway, which shows kind of our early upbringing, our relationship with our mother. Were we nurtured? How's our emotional health? How's our emotional development? So anyway, the Chiron squares, the way that they target it and create psyops, false flags, or weaponization of it is the gender confusion, that if you feel the discomfort of that Mars energy, that you will become confused instead of healing generations before and the programming that our generation carried and generations before of, you know, maybe just stay home, get pregnant, father goes off to war, you know, or the era of, you know, I mean, it's just how to weaponize that so we're not really healing. People are like, I'm the bigger victim, and let's be proud of that. Let's join this movement and let's be angry at you because you're privileged or you got this and white people are bad. And all of this is a way to weaponize identity so that when we're standing in divine identity, which is what these times are about, We're lost in victimhood. We're lost in whatever's being pushed out there. Black Lives Matter. Well, of course they do, right? But how to create division in the healing process so that no, this is the bigger victim right now, and all the attention needs to go here. But let's not talk about, the rest of all the traumas that we've all been through, and the fact that we've had past lives. We've been all sorts of things, and we can't just limit ourselves to this one body and incarnation as well. So it's not a full on, healing process. It's also the targeting of star seeds, put them on medication, belittle them, label people that are out there, turn people against them for whatever reason. So it's just taking the wounds and it's exacerbating the wound. It's creating an infection with the wound, and it's also creating false healing. Here's the avenue, here's the movement to join, here's the and now that Chiron is square Pluto, it's becoming very toxic. There's going to be a lot of casualties. The square means that there's tension between the healing process and what that planet represents. Pluto, Aquarius, transformation, awakening. And with the square, it's toxicity. It's the inversion of being able to really, really move that energy through and come out the other side. People are ashamed of their wounds. They don't want to talk about it. They're like, no, that's not me. And then they act out these personality characteristics that are in avoidance, blame, shame, victim game. So these are all tactics being thrown. And what we can do is be like, cut off the noise, feel into the pain, know it's temporary, and that will turn into diamond jewels and crystals and crystalline energy and connect us with the dragon lines and the crystalline grid. And that, this discomfort is not something to project on the rest of your life. Pluto is a portal. It's a birthing canal. It's the creative cauldron of creation. It's the mother womb, but it's turned into Hades. It's or the underworld is turned into hell. So it's going to be a little bit painful, but if we can move through it, breathe through it, we release what doesn't serve us, and we rise. And people like you and myself and others that are listening, we've been there, down into those rabbit holes, the dark night of the soul, down into those really, difficult initiations. But we know when we come out the other side, we're that much stronger, we're that much more clear. But you're not going to get that from your doctor. You're not going to get that in your early years from anybody that's necessarily going to validate it, unless you have a mother, unless you have friends who understand, unless you give yourself the time and space to shut it all off and go be with yourself and honor that initiation, that importance of connecting. And that's what I did growing up. I'm like, I'm out of here. Like I hit the road. I couldn't talk to anybody about it, but I knew if I project upon this, if I let their voices and their misinterpretation of me get into my space, I'm gonna die. Like I cannot function in that energy. I have to go through this process, no matter how difficult it is, even if nobody understands. Because I remembered that, in ancient times, this was revered. This was important. This was important for the planet. It was important for the earth. It was important for community, that we all hold space for each other when it's time to initiate. Just like puberty, just like, these are all cycles. These are all, different times of our life. And some aren't timed with physiological changes. It's just maybe a transit in your chart. So.
Powerful. Gosh, thank you. This is so powerful. And I want to take a quick pause here, my friends, and I want to invite you a little deeper into this work. First of all, thank you, Dr. Dean. Here, Access Consciousness. This podcast is sponsored by them. If you'd like to become a facilitator or take one of their classes, go to Dr. Dean here, HEER.com. Also, something special for you. If you'd like to find out your galactic origins, I've got a free starseed report and video. You can go to debbiedashinger.com/starseed. That's Debbie with an I and Dachinger with a C. So it's debbiedashinger.com/starseed. And if you are ready for profound personal transformation, I warmly invite you to join my next shamanic galactic healing. I do these every month. They are 90 minutes. The website to sign up remains the same, and every month it is a different shamanic galactic healing. I come prepared, but then you come too. And once I access the group, it lets me know what needs to happen. These are really big. And so I'd love to work with you. debbiedashinger.com/healing. And my beautiful guest, Laura Eisenhower, and I, and several other amazing presenters, are going to be speaking aboard the Celebrity Cruise, March 2026. We are headed to Greece and Turkey. It is called The Mystery School at Sea. So literally the presentations are included, your food is included, etc. Obviously your cabin. They are taking deposits right now, so don't delay. If this calls to you, if you'd like to hear more of Laura in person, hear me speak, and go see some of the amazing folks who are showing up for this, that is a Mystery School at CSEA.com. And finally, folks, if this conversation sparks something in you, share it with just one person, somebody who's going to benefit. Your support by subscribing, by commenting, by liking helps us reach more star seeds and more light workers who are hungry for this information around the world. And now I'm going to head back with Laura Eisenhower. And Laura, I'm really curious, how do you interpret the eclipses and the nodal shifts coming up? And what do they mean for the collective story?
Yeah, so the nodes and the eclipses, they're all in alignment, right? So when an eclipse happens, it lights up the nodal axis, right? So south node Virgo, north node Pluto, north node Pisces, are the eclipses that are going to be happening. So the eclipses of 2025, which are coming up, September 7th and 8th, partial solar eclipse. And so that's usually a big turning point for people because they really feel into the collective growth period, right? So the planetary collective or collective consciousness, the global landscape, I mean, that's why there's so many news reports or there's just a lot of attention going on. There might be some big event that people are warning about, like, oh, it's eclipse time. And almost some people projected something to fear. And it's usually because, people are well aware that eclipses are a very, very powerful time. So just like any time in our life when we are going through a massive growth period, and we successfully move through it, sometimes there's something that wants to yank us back. We might feel like, wow, you know, you've achieved something really great in your energy field or in your life with a partnership, a relationship, a career. And some can shield it really, really well and can maintain it. But for others, you know, it's almost like something attempts to poke holes in it and dismantle it, drag it down, create defeat and exhaustion. So a lot of people kind of feel that. And a lot of people that are locked into what's going on outside of them constantly, that are affected by everything they see in the news, are a little bit more vulnerable to that taking place, or certain characters that might show up in their life to just, try and take them down a bit. And it really depends, because some careers, they're not that threatening to the order, and some are, right? So certain mission work might be a little bit harder to do versus working under a corporation and, you know, getting a promotion. And I'm not saying that's bad, because a lot of people are holding a lot of light in those places, even if they're not going along with maybe an agenda connected to it. They're there to hold witness and to help break it down or plant seeds, right? So they're very significant times. And so September 7th, being a total eclipse of the moon, and then September 21st being a partial eclipse of the sun. So, you know, if the moon blocks the sun from view, it's almost like this integration of the solar and the lunar. And it's also an integration of polarity between the nodal axis, right? So if we're connecting into the south node Virgo, and it has to do with our physiology, and it's an earth sign, has to do with our work routine, physical lifestyle habits. What are we ingesting? What are we, how are we kind of interacting with our own lives? You know, like, do we get enough sleep? How are we taking care of ourselves? It also rules hygiene and our pets. But Mercury is the most important part here, because how does our mind talk to our body? So that dialogue we have with our bodies is really, really important to our health and well-being, because it is the sign and the house of health. So if our mind is talking programming to our body is not going to like it over the course of time. It's going to begin to feel energy blocks, distortion, illness, unwellness, energy drain. So it's a very, very powerful time to listen to that. We have a south node, excuse me, new moon in Virgo this week, and it's moving into, eclipse season here. But and so that is a good time to really anchor in and listen to that before the eclipse happens. What is that dialogue? When you're stressed, when you're triggered, what do you grab? Do you grab something to make it go away that's not healthy for you, or do you grab something that actually is going to bless you with like a nice Epsom salt bath or some healing tool or modality? So how does the mind talk to the body, right? This is really where we can deprogram throughout the day, where we can literally heal and change the direction of our health and wellness by rerouting. And I noticed, my husband and I almost went out to dinner. We probably were going to have food that wouldn't be so great. I would have woken up feeling very sluggish. And I'm so glad I didn't. I just had a nice cup of tea, right? Because it would have been a lot of comfort eating. Oh, fine, I'll get French fries, which I never really eat anymore. But anyway, that's kind of an example where what is the mind telling your body? Is that what you really want? Or is it just to feed some kind of comfort in the moment because you're stressed? So the integration with Pisces Neptune is anchoring the creative imagination so that you are literally restoring the tree of life template, where the branches are Neptune, the multidimensional, and the root system is Earth, Mercury. So the mind is the magician. Is it under mind control, social engineering, or is it connecting with your higher self, bringing in the dream and vision into the roots, into the body, into manifestation, so that the fruits bear the manifestation of the seeds that you're planting in this new moon and in this eclipse time? So notice the things that might want to shake you from that center. And maybe during eclipse time, what I always recommend is maybe get away, maybe go on a camping trip, just maybe turn off your devices, because there's usually an event that happens to distract you, to hook you in. And that's what psyops and false flags are designed for, that there's going to be some outer event that, as you're in your process of anchoring, grounding, shielding, holding strong connection to your visions and dreams, that something will yank you in. All of a sudden, your attention goes outward and you take on that virus, mind virus of a belief system, a trigger response, a survival response, a grief response. And I'm not saying don't grieve, don't react to the madness that we're seeing in the world, but during an eclipse time, it's so important to contain, your energies and shield, because eclipses, the power of them lasts for about 6 months. New moons to full moons, you're in that, 30-day cycle, 28-day cycle. But with eclipses, the energy lasts for about 6 months. So whatever you're really anchoring, or whatever you're connecting to, whatever you're ingesting, might be something you keep noticing holds you for longer than you want, if it's something you don't want in your space versus something that you do. You might see the fruits of so much that you're anchoring right now to unfold for you for the next 6 months, versus something that you have to disentangle yourself from that might get exacerbated by the fact that during this very important time, you've energetically corded into it, and even in your dreams, or even unconsciously, it starts to tamper with the flow of energy that you want to preserve and protect during eclipses.
Oh my gosh, the most moving part of that for me was when you talked about the tree of life and as it reflects to the being and as it reflects to creation and going up into the branches and making the choice that your branches are actually connected to source and bringing that down through you astrologically, cosmically into fruition, really into fruition. And that was, it was quite beautiful. Allegory that you created there, and I could really feel that. And I love also so much what you're saying, Laura, because I feel like what you're talking about is important on a lot of different levels. It is very easy for people to feel the energy outside of ourselves, especially light workers, right? Because we are so sensitive. And so, as incredibly sensitive beings, not only are we seeing things play out on the world stage, but we're feeling the wars, the mistreatment of women and children, we're feeling the insane politics, we're feeling the frustration of lies when we know the truth, and more. And I personally think it's so important Just what you said, to feel all the feels. Of course, we're human. We came here with feelings. Let that happen. Let that energy run through you, but then choose not to stay there once it's complete. Because the most important thing we can do is anchor ourselves into who we are, into why we're here, and into what we came to contribute right now at this really important time. And I don't think anybody should downplay who they are or why they're here, or that they're just getting pushed along by the river of life, and why bother? You should bother. It's very important that you chose to be here right now. It's no accident.
Oh, totally. Yes. And the thing is, how much are we battling, the disease versus enhancing the immune system, right? So when we hold our center and we connect with the solution, when we connect with what our higher self and intuition is guiding us to be, we're collapsing the control grid because we're not so caught up in it that we're actually feeding it because it's just taking us away from what we're here to anchor. And that will offset it. And I think it's very hard for us to disconnect because we think we're actually disconnecting as in not caring, but it's not a disconnect in that kind of way. It just means I'm not energetically corded to it. We realize that we came here for these times and that we hold solution and that our embodiment and staying in our power and being able to be guided by higher self and intuition will bring about the change we wish to see. It'll collapse the control grid. It will correct the reversals. It will begin to make it more and more difficult for these wars and genocides and atrocities to even take place because it won't be able to anchor in anymore. And as long as we're really feeding into it, it's taking us away from enhancing the immune system. So, and that's the thing with like battling even disease. If we spent more time enhancing the immune system, it would begin to shrink, 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 shrink. But the medical industry is very much, put more toxicity in to kill it, kill it, kill it, make it go away. But you run the risk of losing yourself in the process. And I'm not saying that that doesn't work for some people when that's necessary. But it's important to keep in mind that we have within us everything we could possibly need to regenerate, to override, to overcome, and to squash and starve this parasitic inverted system and all the wars that it keeps alive in order to keep us in a constant trauma loop and survival and anger and despair and rage. And I think all those emotions are healthy and important, but I definitely feel also that we have to give ourselves enough time and space to realize how much we embody the solution. And in doing that, in embracing the joy that we can have, that's nothing to feel guilty about or selfish about. We're gonna have fun on the cruise, everyone.
Yes, let's talk about that. So we're going to be, I don't even know how many events you and I will be at together next year, but let's talk about the Mystery School cruise. That's so exciting. I've never been to Greece and Turkey. Have you?
I've been to Turkey, not Greece, not all the other locations. I've been to Italy, but not these. We're going to Italy too, right?
No, not Italy. It's
Okay.
Athens, Greece, where we're
Oh, no, I
landing.
haven't. I mean, it's going to be incredible.
I know. So what are you looking forward to? I mean, that's 11 days, right? And 10 days at sea and then ports. And I understand we're going to these exceptional places like Delphi, and some of the experts are going to be guiding us through a mystery school experience. Are you going to talk? Are you going to talk about mystery schools?
Oh yeah. Yeah,
Oh.
I'll be really, really getting into the areas that we're going to. Yeah, mystery schools, just the history, ancient history of these particular locations. I just can't wait. I've started to feel into it all in the presentations I'll be doing. I can't wait to just get off the boat and onto the land, into these areas, into these locations. We had so much fun last time when we went to, Mexico, Honduras, Belize City, and yeah, now these areas of the world have been calling me for so long, and we have so much fun on the boats. I mean, not, they're more than boats on these huge, cruises. All these different speakers. There's events at night. You get to go on excursions, and if you don't sign up for an excursion, you can pretty much create your own. And the thing is, for this trip, even if I missed the boat and didn't come back, I'm like, oh well, I'm stuck here, and which won't happen, but it's one of those places where it's like, oops. But
And you
yeah,
know
when
what else is going to be really nice? When you and I were together in the Yucatan in December, it was really hot, right? I mean, Mexico at that time of year is no joke. And where we're going to be right now, the weather, I understand, is perfect. Like maybe the low to mid 70s, and that's it. That's beautiful for me.
That's so beautiful. Yes. Oh my gosh, that's going to be really, really incredible. Yeah, I can't wait. So, we got to really put the word out there.
So, Mystery School at Sea, SEA, go ahead and sign up. There's a special rate for you if you bring a friend, a loved one, family member, whatever, child. There's just so much to say. Absolutely go to the website and check it out. But if you will put down a deposit, you're guaranteed a spot. I know last time when Laura and I did the cruise to Yucatan, it's no joke. Literally, when they keep saying, we will run out of cabins, they mean it. So you don't want to be that person who's going, what do you mean? What do you mean there's no cabins? So go ahead and get them because I believe this is being sealed off in a couple of months. It's not even though the cruise is in 2026, I understand that they're ending the deposits, the reservations in a couple of months. So you want to get that Mystery School at Sea. You'll get to hear Laura, Geraldine Orozco. I could go to the website and pull up all the names, but so could you. It's really worth checking out and then seeing all the amazing places we get to go to. And exactly what Laura said, it's a very good point. There are excursions, and you can sign up in advance and you're fully taken care of. But the beautiful thing is, if you look at that and say, meh, maybe not for me, or I'm not sure, you still get off at port. And there's so many amazing things you can choose to do anyway, on your own with your friends. And I did both last time and it was fantastic. So you will be okay either way, but you will get to see Greece, you will get to see Turkey, and you'll get to have a mystery school experience. What else? People can find you at cosmicgaia.org.
Yes, cosmicguide.org, and I have information about the cruise on my homepage. The best place to follow me, I would say, is Substack. I write articles there all the time. I get into what I was talking about, weaponization of the zodiac, the true sort of expression of what it used to be, 12 tones and flames. You know, it was much more about embodiment and essence. Not so much what it's become. Not to say that it's negative for it to be a predictive tool, but with any kind of prediction, you want to be very, very careful not to fix anybody to a possible reality when there's a lot of different ways that one is going to experience these aspects. And we all have our own, you know, zodiac map, and it's unique, but we have all 12 houses. We have all elementals, earth, air, fire, water, ether, that exists within us. Just because we're called to carry a certain tone, flame, frequency, doesn't mean that the other ones aren't within you to awaken. And that's why it's so wonderful for us all to come together, because we each have our own unique roles. That's why every mission matters. That's why this is not about hierarchy or propping people up and at the negation of yourself and what your mission is and what your truth is. And what else is on my website? Yeah, I do a subscription thing where you can join Zoom calls. We just sort of talk and navigate the madness together.
What gives you
But
hope, Laura? What is ahead for us, for the Earth, for the humans, et cetera, galactically, cosmically, or earthbound, 3D? What gives you, as you look ahead astrologically, the greatest hope for humanity's future? What are you seeing?
well, it's not even in, well, it's reflected in the astrology. It's more what I'm feeling, because, you know, the astrology doesn't necessarily get lived out to its highest expression, right? So everything about the astrology, all the alignments, the planetary intelligence knows exactly how to heal the planetary system. It knows exactly how to, you know, repair and correct itself from inversion, from invasion. So that the Sophionic corrections and all the different planetary alignments reveal that. The sun started moving through the 13th sign in 2010. The whole matrix was rigged to keep that tone out, because that would mean that the control matrix would collapse. That's why were all about the 13 families and the dark mother reversals, because if Divine Mother actually returns and reclaims your body and begins to activate that core diamond sun, and the grids heal with all the grid workers that have been, you know, helping this anchor, And a lot of you that might not even know this terminology have been doing it just by living your truth and feeling called to certain locations. You are doing that grid work. That's what gives me, a lot of hope. Knowing that the 13th sign every year, December 30th to November, December 30th to November 17th, November comes first. November 30th to December 17th. I'm like, what did I just say? Is when the sun moves through Ophiuchus, right? So that is very encouraging because the alchemical laws of creation literally are open now, where that was the main elemental put in reversal. The dodecahedron platonic solid was put in reversal. So it was very, very easy for us to feel very, very dense, very, very stuck. Epidemics, illnesses, short lifespans, a lot of toxicity, dementia when you get older, nursing homes, everything matrix, right? That's been the construct. So this alchemical law literally alchemizes that and wipes that clean. The outer planets are all in alignment. The eclipses with South Node Virgo, North Node Pisces is perfect for what's happened since 2019, 2020. To offset the bioweapons, to offset the 5G, to become the override frequency that literally de-weaponizes all dark weaponry that we do in our own embodiment, because we can connect with everything that collapses this, alchemizes it, and dismantles it. That gives me hope, because when people stand in their power, when they're aligned in their soul and in their heart, and really holding that unity consciousness, not in a way that means think like everybody else and put yourself in uncomfortable situations, but you understand something much more deeply in relationship to the rebuilding of the 12 strand DNA and beyond, how it relates to this process we're in, and the planetary intelligence giving us exactly what we need to do this in our own lives and to do it on a planetary level. I feel a lot more hope because people, whether they understand astrology or not, are mindful, they're conscious, they're feeling what their intuition is telling them. They're not afraid of feeling into it in order to unlock the buried treasure. They're not afraid to clear ancestral lines. They're not afraid to see reality from a much more clear perspective, saying goodbye to the programming, saying goodbye to the institutions or the individuals in their lives that might bind them to withhold that without a lot of judgment and a lot of projection, that you're able to move on and see this much bigger picture. And I see that every day. And so the people, my friends, the connections that have endured, like with you and others that we know, gives me a lot of hope, because there's been a lot of smear campaigns and a lot of disruption. And you sometimes wonder, oh my God, are we still good? Is everything okay? And then, I see you and I see your smile and I see others at events. And that just gives me hope, because they can throw all that they want, but there's something that they can't have that's incorruptible, that we all hold deeply within our hearts and souls. And every single person has it. You just might not have found it yet if you're still caught up in the, negative ego or whatever. And I know every single soul has it. And it just encourages me to know that whatever adversity that strikes, whatever dis-ease, whatever that you consider to be unfortunate or misfortune, isn't at all. And you're on the brink of a major breakthrough, and it's going to take you home, and you're going to realize the blessing that it all provides, and the reason why it showed up. And the more I see that, the more hope I feel. All the planetary alignments are absolutely incredible, but they also plan a new world order functioning on the same kind of planetary alignments we're seeing, in the hopes that we would slip into the shadow, we would be dependent on a system that would continue to throw us waves of psyops and false flags to give us a false sense of comfort, security, which would have robbed us from the massive awakening and reclamation of sovereignty that is in front of us. And I don't see that they're successful at all. And I see it dismantling every day. And it's through us that it's happening. And we don't have to wait on disclosure or ascension. It's something that is moving through us, and it's something that we are reclaiming through remembrance, not through achievement.
Oh, mic drop. True remembrance to reclaim and to stand in who you are. So many messages here today. If you want to learn more about the amazing Laura Eisenhower, go to her website, cosmicgaia.org, or her Substack. And if you would like to join us and the other amazing presenters aboard the Mystery School at Sea, go ahead and sign up, put down your deposit, mysteryschool@sea.com. dot or excuse me dot com, and I think we'll both be very excited to meet you on the ship. It's a great opportunity where you're not just passing by in the night, you're actually hanging out, having meals, building community, which is so important right now. I end today's show with this reminder. Laura reminds us that the stars are not distant from us. They're mirrors of our own journey. And by aligning with the wisdom of astrology and trusting the guidance of the cosmos, we step into our role as conscious participants in Earth's unfolding story. This is Dare to Dream for curious souls, connecting with extraterrestrial life, higher dimensions, and ancient shamanic wisdom. Subscribe to this number one transformation conversation. Please leave a comment. I read them all. And next week on the show, Wendy Kennedy is back for her fourth or fifth time. As you guys know, unbelievable conversation as Wendy channels the ninth dimensional Pleiadian collective known as the Peas. Thanks for joining us today on Dare to Dream. And remember to stand in who you are and do what you came here to do.
Yay. Thanks.
Thanks for joining us this week on Dare to Dream. Make sure to visit our website, debbiedashinger.com. That's DEBBIDACHINGER. You can subscribe to the show on YouTube and all major podcast sites so you'll never miss an episode. While you're at it, if you found value in this program, we'd appreciate a like and comment, or tell a friend about the podcast. That will help us out as well. And if you like this conversation, you might want to check out Debbie's shamanic healing programs. And Debbie is available for coaching to write your book, and her company takes your finished book to guaranteed international bestseller. Be sure to subscribe for our next episode of Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashinger, your number one transformation conversation.